welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne. And if you've watched the show or heard the show before, I usually have my sweet co-host with me. She is not with me today. She is actually watching my two kiddos today. So thank you, Kendra, for filling in on childcare today. We say we pay each other back sometimes. I keep her kiddo, then she keeps one or two of my kiddos. And so today it just worked for her to keep mine. And then next week I will be doing the same thing for her again. So find you good friends that you can count on for those babysitters, because sometimes you need them to fill in. So, but anyway, so she is not here today. So I am hosting by myself. It's crazy. But I have a fun guest on the phone today. And she's going to be coming on to tell her story and how she has walked through a long time of infertility, and how God saw her through some really difficult times, she and her husband, and where they are today. She's actually a good friend of a girl we had on the show back, I think she came on in January, Rochelle. I call her Roro. My kids call her Roro. But her name is Rochelle. They are super close friends, and so they have definitely been there for each other during some really hard times. And I think Rochelle even brought up Maggie in that show. So if you would like to go back and listen to Rochelle's episode, please do that. And then I can't wait for you to hear from our sweet guest Maggie today. Her name is Maggie Skip. Maggie, are you with us?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. Rochelle has wanted you to be on the show for so long. She's like, Anne, you've got to have her on. She's so eloquent in her words, and she just lets the Lord speak through her. And I know just a few times that I've been around you personally, you have always just been spirit-led in your conversations. And so I know when I was still struggling with infertility and walking through that, you definitely had just words of wisdom and encouragement for me. And so I just can't wait for you to bless our audience with whatever the Lord has for you to share today.
No, thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So if you don't mind just starting out with telling us a little bit about you and your hubby, maybe how y'all met, and then, you know, where you went from there, and then how we got to the story of infertility.
Sure. Yeah, so our story is not a typical one, but that wouldn't fit my life anyway. So I was teaching English in South Korea, and I had been there for about a year. I had taught a year prior to that as well, but this particular job, I had been there a year, and I had a lot of really beautiful time to hike the little mountains there and just draw close to God and listen to podcasts and things. And I was listening to a podcast by, what's his name? The pastor is Mark, and he had Mars Hill Church at the time, if any of you are familiar with what he built some years ago. But he was interviewing a couple on how they met online. And to be honest, I was laughing and thinking that's such a silly way to meet your life partner. but I had a lot of time on my hands, and I wasn't meeting anybody in rural South Korea at 30 years old. I loved my life, and I thought, you know, maybe there is someone who would be a good match for me. And so I started opening up to the idea of maybe I should start really looking for this person instead of just waiting for them to show up on my doorstep. So it really was on a whim, however, that I joined eHarmony. And I really didn't take it seriously at first. I just wanted to see what it was like and what kinds of people signed up for a dating site. I still thought it was really silly. And so, however, I met Brennan 3 days after I signed up, which is you know, that's a very good experience, to not have to spend too much time on those sites. And it's a very long, beautiful story of how God really spoke to both of us at the same time. There was so much synchronicity and just connections and things that we couldn't deny, that the Holy Spirit was just teaching both of us so much through our friendship. We really didn't think initially that we were going to end up together, but we really befriended each other in the Lord, and then things just went to a much deeper level all of a sudden. So I flew back after a year in South Korea to North America. I'm from Canada, so flying to the United States was not flying home, but it was certainly closer to home. And we married in Oregon, where his family lives, and then moved to New Mexico for a month, packed up all his things, moved to Mississippi for his a next stage of his pilot training, and then here to Little Rock, where we've been for the last 8 years, almost 9 years of our marriage. I can't believe how quickly it's gone. But yeah, that's our story. We met online, and yeah, there were little miracles just sprinkled all throughout our story.
Oh, for sure. Wow. Okay, I had forgotten. I knew he was in the military, but I had forgotten how big of a role that played in y'all meeting. So, oh my goodness.
Right.
So y'all, but y'all did end up getting married back in the States. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Whenever, so before you got married, what did that conversation look like for kiddos for y'all?
Yeah, we both definitely wanted children, and Brennan grew up in a family of four, and I grew up in a family of three. I think I wanted three kids. I know he wanted four. So we certainly had the expectation that, you know, shortly after, not too shortly after getting married, we wanted to really know each other well first and build a strong foundation. But I was 30, and he's 2 years younger than me. So we knew if we were going to have some kiddos, we'd better get started, you know, within the next 3 years, like starting definitely by our third year of marriage. I believe we started trying, though, you know, in our second year. We thought, yeah, it's time. We really want to grow our family. So that's when our fertility journey began.
Wow. Okay. So whenever, how did y'all figure out that you were going to have problems with this?
We figured out we were having problems when we kept losing our pregnancies. Every time it was absolutely like getting hit by a bus. Like, you don't see it coming. You have no context that that could happen to you. It was just complete shock and disbelief, really, for the, you know, the first while of trying to reorient after a loss. Is just, I don't know of any other grief. I think it's losing a child, you know, it's just so heartbreaking. And even as early as an early pregnancy.
For sure. So is that, that's part of your story as well?
Right. We didn't have too much trouble getting pregnant. I think the details are a little faded at this point, but I think it was probably, you know, 6 months, 7 months. So it wasn't immediately that it happened. But I wasn't feeling like something was wrong. In fact, I think that's what was so hard about the loss, was because I thought, you know, everything was perfect and going so smoothly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that whenever whenever you all of a sudden have those problems, it kind of just punches you in the gut, you know, is what it feels like, because especially when it hits you off guard. I know we've had guests on, you know, that found out they would have problems in their teens and things like that, and so they knew to look for that.
Right.
I'm not saying that's easier to deal with. It's just a different type of surprise, I guess. So whenever, what did that end up looking like for you? So you, you know, you're now a few months into trying, and then that is when you experienced your first miscarriage. Is that what happened?
Right. So we got pregnant right around the time I was getting ready to start my student teaching. I taught overseas with a degree in church ministries from the Bible college I graduated from, but I didn't get my teaching degree until I did my master's here after my teaching experience in Asia. So I was graduating from that program and about to start my student teaching, and we got pregnant. And I carried for 11 weeks. And, you know, we had trouble with our insurance, getting everything squared away so that we could go have our first heartbeat, go have that ultrasound. And so, as far as I knew, everything was going great, and I was growing. My belly was growing. My placenta was growing. The baby had stopped growing at 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I was carrying this child, even though she, I believe it was a she, had passed. Mm. And I didn't find out the news until much later. And then I had to wait a week. I wasn't interested in a DNC or any of the medicines they give you to dispel. So I waited it out and talked to a naturopath and had some herbs and things to help have that happen naturally. And that was such a painful week of waiting, you know, to have that pass naturally.
I cannot imagine knowing that the baby is, you know, the body is there, but the baby is not there anymore, and still, you know, your body is still almost recognizing that you are pregnant.
Yeah. And so our bodies are beautiful.
Yeah. To be able to still do that. Right.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
In life.
So you were saying you did that in a more natural way. You're taking those type of supplements to make your body basically deliver that baby.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's hard. That was a whole nother type of grief, I'm sure, whenever you came to realization that that had happened.
Right. And then, you know, Rochelle, she is truly an angel. And
she is.
yes. She came and sat with me in the tub, and she's a nurse, and she gave me my medicine, and she was beautiful, and got me all set up. She came straight from work after a full day and got me settled, and then I spent the entire night in the bathtub, and yeah, it was just a very, you know, sacred. It was really, it represents life and loss, and it was an intimate time with the Lord. I played music and grieved. I didn't feel alone, but it was very painful.
I bet. Mm-hmm. So what does grief look like after that? What like your plan on pregnancy again? What did life look like after that?
Right. I was so disoriented because I had been one of those people who wanted to do everything possible to have a healthy pregnancy. And I really pulled out all the stops that I knew in that pregnancy to just set us up for just a beautiful pregnancy. So I was really confused. I didn't understand. You know, you want answers when you lose a baby, and ultimately, I don't know that there are, you know, full answers. I do think that there are ways to look at it, to understand that, you know, good can come out of that, and maybe God had a, I often think that maybe it was a mercy in some way that we don't understand. I've heard of mothers who have had their precious babies, and you know, they've had you know, genetic challenges, and then they lose their babies later on. And again, we can't understand it all. But I took some comfort in that maybe it was a more merciful thing for our child to go be with Jesus sooner if there was going to be some struggle for that child.
Yeah.
And of course, even more pain to have carried a child longer and had the attachment be stronger. So, but I really felt like I didn't know where to pick up. And I remember after coming out of the doctor's office, and my husband and I went to eat Japanese food, and my mind was going crazy, and I didn't know what to do with my. Like, I thought, what can I do this summer? Because I'd been pouring all my intention and my love into growing this baby, and now this baby was gone. And I felt like my hands were fumbling to hold something else because I felt this huge void. And, you know, nothing really ever filled it like a baby would. But I remember that's my initial response was I felt so much loss that I had to hold on to something. And ultimately, I just was going to struggle for some time with the Lord, and you know, have to have a lot to learn, and a lot of learning about being kind to myself through something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am glad that you did that. And I think that that's a beautiful thing to look at. It's like, what if this is God showing grace? Even though it's hard to see that, to feel that in the moment for sure. But then to, you know, like, is he blessing you with being able to look back and see that that point in time, you know? So after that, how long was next pregnancy? What did it look like then?
Yeah, this is where it gets even more confusing and painful for my heart at the time. So this was where it was really hard to wait to get pregnant. And I signed up to become a yoga instructor. And so, you know, that was beautiful. It was something to fill my time and my energy.
For sure.
But, you know, definitely not healing in and of itself. So very much longing for this child. And I remember just the beautiful mercy of after a long time, what felt like a very long time of waiting. So it would have been about 8, 9, 10 months trying to do the math, but where I conceived the week before what would have been our first baby girl, we named her Kaylin, would have been her due date.
Oh, wow.
And so I was pregnant just before that week. And so that really comforted my heart. I felt like it was a double rainbow because it was a child that we were going to be expecting during the week, or we knew we were pregnant during the week we would have expected our first child. So I was just so elated and thankful to God for hearing my prayer. And, and that week that we would have lost, or we would have delivered Kaylin, we were up in Canada visiting my husband's family's friends, family. It was a difficult trip for a lot of reasons, but, while we were there in the midst, in the height of the celebration, you know, everybody celebrating different things, wedding and other things happening in their lives and being together, I lost our baby. And it was a very painful time. It was very difficult I was really confused about what God was doing. And it was like my hope had been renewed. And then it felt like I was being teased. I felt like my hope had raised, and then it just got shot down. And it was really hard for me to connect with the people around me because everyone was very happy and celebrating everything else around, even a new baby that had come to visit the home.
Wow.
And they asked, "Would you like to come see the baby?" And I just, it was a very lonely week of my life. I've actually had to do some little trauma work around that week and releasing so many emotions that just got so tangled up. So yeah, that was honestly the hardest week of my adult life that I recall.
Wow.
So that was a very painful trip. And we came home after having experienced that loss. And I think I did go just a touch, you know, off the rails mentally. I was just very, very disoriented. So that was really a hard time in our marriage. You know, it was very lonely. There was a lot of we weren't able to communicate clearly about what we needed. And so,
well, husbands and wives, we've talked about it on the show for sure. You just handle things so differently. And so to marriage is hard enough. And then when you're dealing with, you know, miscarriage, death of a baby, that makes it even more hard. And then, for that situation where you're with his family and not able to say, like, this is what I'm going through because everyone around you is so excited, like, that's a lot of emotions going on to then come back and have to handle, you know?
I look back at my younger self in that situation, and I think the lesson I take from it now, too, is that I didn't know how to care for myself in that kind of crisis and that kind of loss. I expected, you know, the people around me would do the things that would help me or comfort me. And it's a really interesting journey going through infertility and pregnancy loss because you do need people's support. But I'm sure so many people that are going through this experience or have will attest to the fact that people often say the wrong thing.
Oh, for sure.
Or the thing that is the least helpful. And yeah. And on the one hand, you know, it's really helpful if people are more informed about how to speak about grief and loss. And on the other hand, it's helpful if we can help them know what's more helpful. And I think at that time, I didn't know how to ask people for what I needed. I think I didn't even fully know what I needed. I was just hurting so badly. So
yeah, well, it's pain that we're not meant to go through. You know, like that is not how the Lord intended.
Thank you. I'm so refreshed to hear you say that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, but then you're walking through it and you're like, I don't even know myself as this person. And so to then try to tell your husband or mother-in-law or sister, you know, like that's a whole nother ball game. So there are definitely days I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know how to say what was even wrong and, you know, why I wasn't okay. So I think that's something that we need to normalize a little bit.
Right.
Just for ladies, you know, and husbands too, walking through this. Okay, so if you can just continue and just tell us, you know, where we got to where you are today or how we got to the story of your sweet boy.
Yes, so we did have one more loss. It was very early. Mm-hmm. I think at that point I felt kind of just a little bit like I didn't know what to do with hope. I didn't know how to raise that hope again.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest message from my story that I took was that if you have hope, you can continue going forward and you will get to where you need to be. I think without hope, we cannot realize any of our, well, maybe that's an overstatement, but we need hope to realize our dreams and to see our prayers answered. So I just took a look at the time here and I'm trying to summarize here these thoughts because they're really potent and how the idea of hope, even when you're confused about how to do so, I think the question in my mind was, God, do you want me to have a baby? Because it feels like you keep presenting it to me and then taking it away. And so I didn't want to want something if he was truly just withholding it from me. But, you know, one thing to remember is that God gives good gifts. He's an abundant father. Mm-hmm. He's not teasing us. It sure can feel like it, you know, from our human perspective. And, the biggest takeaway for me was that if I stop trying and I stop hoping, I'm not going to hold this baby in my arms that I've been dreaming about. Mm. And so to simply put one foot in front of the other to get closer to that place of holding that baby is all that we can do, and that's everything that we can do. So we, by God's grace, did get pregnant again, and I had a perfect pregnancy. It was just beautiful. I experienced depression during that pregnancy, and I think that it was probably anxiety flipped on its head.
For sure.
Sometimes anxiety and depression interplay with each other in ways we don't always understand. I think a really big message I would want to share, you know, whatever part of your fertility journey you're on, is really deeply to practice kindness to yourself. And if there's any parts of your experience or your emotions that you're relegating to the dungeon of who you are, like that, that's not how we help ourselves or heal. And so, you know, for anyone who's feeling just full of rage or fear or confusion or any of those things, to like befriend that part of you and show that part compassion, because we can't just stuff that away because that ends up hurting us. And Jesus wants us to bring out all of our pain to him. And so we don't have to hide those parts of us that are just truly struggling. We don't have to put fancy Christian words on it. We can just be honest and ask for help. And that's who Jesus is. Yes, he gave us a beautiful baby boy. He's just such a gift. And truly, my heart's full. I think one and done for us. We, We're so happy with him, and you know, we feel that we have three in heaven that we'll see one day.
That's right.
And I just turned 40, so I feel like it's a good time to just enjoy what I have.
I think that's so true. And the Lord does just help us to know contentment, you know. And so if your heart is content, just praise the Lord, you know. And so, Maggie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I think if there's something I took away, it would be just to honor that part of being real with God and taking those real feelings to the Lord, because he doesn't turn our back whenever we say, God, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm hurt. I think he just shows up even more for us. So thank you for being on the show, Maggie. For those that are listening, thanks for listening in. You know where to find us, and email us at hannahsheart@afa.net. And we look so forward to seeing you back next week.